I knew it would be a storytelling type of show. So I had to get through a lot of stories talking about my father and our family and how we started and how thankful I am. He would call me in the middle of the night. You know, I'd be waking up and I'd say, hello. He said, Applehead, it's Uncle Michael. Hey, Uncle Michael, how are you? I was like, are you asleep? Yeah, but it's okay. Okay, I'll make it quick. You got to go to that school, that Wharton School. I heard it's the number one school in the world, Applehead, for business. Please go, please. Nous sommes les trois T. We are 3T.
Okay.
Hey, what up? It's Game, man. Nando.
Hey, what's up? Yo, this is 50 Cent.
Hey, this is Rihanna Fernando.
Hey, yo, Fernando. What's up? DJ Khaled.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is J Balvin.
Nando Leaks.
Okay?
Okay.
Fernando. X is in that station for a reason, baby. All
right? Nando Leaks.
DJ Jackson in the building.
Yes, I am house here.
Life. House life. You're in Paris right now, right?
I'm in Paris, France, enjoying every minute in Europe. I love this place.
Yeah.
There's some type of magic here. My Uncle Michael always said Europe is got it. The art, the culture, the people, the way it just moves.
Yeah.
And I feel it every time I come. Every time I came since he said that, he's right.
Yeah.
So I love it.
It has magic. That's one thing for sure. How good is your French? Did you pick up some French words?
You know, I know three lines. You want to hear them?
Yeah.
Je suis TJ.
Yeah.
I am TJ. Je t'aime. I love you.
Yeah.
And nous sommes les trois T.
What's that one?
We are 3T.
Okay.
That's my three French lines, Fernando. That's it.
And he'd be like, bonjour, au revoir, treaties.
It's funny. Yeah, it's true. It's like, nous sommes les trois T, and that's all my French.
Wow. Because normally you're performing with your brothers, and now you're doing your own show. You did A Night to Remember, an acoustic like session. Yeah. And it was, how was it? Your first acoustic show.
Fernando, it was special. It was so special. It was a sold out. The show sold out within days. My father came and surprised me.
Wow.
And I knew it was going to be an emotional night anyway, you know, not having my brothers with me. I performed for 20 years, probably thousands of times. And every time was with my brothers on, you know, right next to me. And I knew it would be a tough and emotional night because I didn't have them. And then you add on the fact that my father shows up without me knowing. Oof. And the vibe I created with this acoustic session show is kind of a storytelling. I love, there's so many stories that the world doesn't know about me, my brothers, and our family. And I wanted to tell those stories in this show. So I knew it would be a storytelling type of show. So I had to get through a lot of stories talking about my father and our family and how we started and how thankful I am. And my father's right there, and I was just having dialogue with him during the show. And, you know, I learned things about him. He learned things about me. I asked him questions about, you know, family. And the fans got to just join in on the conversation. I really want to create, and I'm going to create, continue to create this vibe where people feel like they're in our living room, you know, from my entire family. And even 3T, we've always performed in front of hundreds and thousands of people when we perform. Yeah. We've never performed in such an intimate way. And in a way, I've always envied that because there's a different kind of electricity and bond you get with an audience when it's intimate. You're really connected with them. And I've never experienced that with 3T because from the beginning, we took off.
Yeah.
And I've been waiting and wanting that since we started. And, you know, as my career slowly starts to go and grows, I didn't want that opportunity to pass. So it was a perfect opportunity to do that kind of show. And that's what I did. And last night was our first night and it was everything I wanted and more. And I'm so excited for the rest of the shows.
And you said you had a conversation with your dad and you discovered stuff you didn't know. What were those things? Like those things you discovered?
Like his favorite 3T song. I had just finished Stuck on You. And I told the crowd how that's my grandmother's, Catherine's favorite 3T song.
Yeah.
And when we talk about it, she lights up in a way that she normally doesn't. It's the most beautiful thing. It's like proud and pride and happiness and youthful all in one. And then I just asked my pops, I said, Pops, what's your favorite? Actually, I had performed anything. And I said, Pops, by the way, and he was up in the balcony. I said, Pops, what's your favorite song that Taj and I, you know, Taj Terrell and I did? And he said, Anything. And it was just really cool. And I was like, why, Pops? And he was like, you know, that's what started it all. So it was just, Fernando, you know what it is? As I've gotten older, I'm a father. I respect what the man has done for his sons. You know, what my father, he was the last Jackson to release his own single solo album. When he was working on 3T when I was 8, 9 years old, all the siblings were doing what you would expect a 30-year-old Jackson to do, who's on top of the world, and do music and get out there and take advantage of their career. And my father chose to, you know, work on his boys and develop his boys and help make their dreams come true. And he was saying that. I was like, Pops, what made you not do your own thing at that time? You know, you're a Jackson, you're on top of the world. Why didn't you do what you were, you know, what you practiced your whole life to do? And he said, because I wanted to help make my boy's dream come true. And that hit me. It hit me, you know, and it's just, you know, and that's the kind of stuff that I want in these acoustic sessions that I couldn't do in a regular show. Like when we did our show, Fernando, when you helped us with the launch of our Chapter 3 album, 3Ts, that was one of my favorite shows because we got to connect with the audience in a way that we never did. And I want more of that. And there's so much room for it. So that's what this mini tour is for, to connect with the audience.
Yeah, that was a special show. I remember hosting the show and having a conversation with you guys on stage and seeing the audience just in awe and responding like, wow, I didn't know this. And it was so intimate and so special, because I think a lot of times people just look at artists and just hear the songs and sing along with the songs, but never really get to hear the stories behind the songs. And when we did that at the show, having a conversation and letting the audience listen and ask questions, that's just a special vibe, man. Special.
You know, and Fernando, with you was the first time we ever did it. We always wanted to, but Sony, you know, and I understand their position. Sony Music is who we were signed to. They wanted to push us to the biggest audience possible, and I understand that. But when you do that, especially because Anything was our first song, which was a massive hit for us, we never got that opportunity. It turned into mayhem immediately. And I enjoy that. You spend so much time working on an album, creating, laying your heart and soul into an art, that to not be able to share the why and to respond and answer questions that the people who are enjoying it want to know, it's kind of sad to me, you know, because when we do an interview, it's normally the same questions. What's it like to be a second generation Jackson? Any advice you get, what's the best advice you get from your family? Or how does it feel to be out there? So same general questions. It's never like, when you wrote this song, that's not a single, what were you thinking? Yeah. And then we can answer, we were going through a tough time in a relationship. And it ended up becoming a marriage. And that's what the song, it just adds depth. And for an artist, it's a dream, because normally we don't get to share that portion of the music.
Yeah. It's funny because like that's the whole thing. Like when I started doing radio and music, I was like, I want to bring that depth into conversations, that real talk, that extra layer. Like instead of just asking the general questions, it's like talking to how people think, how they feel, like have a human conversation instead of being on the hype and just and get like headliners and stuff. I want to make legendary conversations.
Yeah, I think it's needed. I think it's needed. And I, like I said, I understand why it's not as out there, because the world's so quick. You know, I just did a TV show, and it was a very big French TV show, a live show. And literally I was on for maybe a minute or two, because it's so quick and people want to, their attention spans aren't there. But if you give them an opportunity and you have that connection, it's very powerful.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm at in my life. I enjoy that. I'd rather have a smaller core that is passionate and connected than a huge core that's just knows the words or the song and then doesn't know anything else. I'm at a stage in my life where I'm enjoying, you know, people being on my journey and sharing my journey.
Yeah, I could see it because when I was watching the video on YouTube last night, I saw you having fun because we have a personal connection. We speak to one another. And also when I was in LA, we were hanging out. But like when I see you do music by yourself, I kind of like get happy. Like, wow, I'm seeing him enjoy a new lane. I saw you in the video doing it. I think Tosh also directed the video. But in the video, there's a part of you performing when you were very small. What made you want to put that part inside of the video?
Yeah, great question. The director who's actually directed all of my music videos, Omar Pachursky is his name. I call him Omizzle. He just asked, do you have any footage when you were young that the world hasn't seen? And Taj is the videographer. He's always he was the three team member that always had the camera and was really serious about capturing everything. And I asked him, I said, do you have anything? He said, I'll have it to you in your Dropbox in an hour. So in an hour, I had a performance of when we were really young. And it was cool. I'm so happy it was added so that people understand we've been at this for a long time. And I think I'm 8 years old, 9 years old, maybe 10 at max, singing a song called All My Love. And it's a song that Taro wrote. So he was 11, 12, 13. And we're rehearsing just in my parents' room. You know, I'm wearing like things a normal kid would wear. And it was a cool little tidbit to get into the video to show that that's where it started with my brothers and singing at a young age. And, you know, it worked out wonderful. I'm very happy with the video's called Last Night for anyone who wants to watch it. But as far as me being and doing my own thing, I am enjoying it. You know, I miss my brothers. I love my brothers. 3T will never die. 3T will always, we're not strangers, you know, foreigners who got together to do some type of business. We're brothers. This is in our soul. We just are going and trying different things in our own things, which I think is healthy. Yeah. But the minute we collectively decide to do more music and to get out there, I'm going to sign on and be on that train. I enjoy it. You know, the last night's show was special for me. It was enjoyable, but there's nothing like being on the stage with your two best friends. And I'm looking forward to the day when we, as 3T, do more shows.
Maybe a world tour.
That's a dream, man. That's a dream. And my father says it, you guys work too hard to just do what you did and not do more. And he's right. Yeah. Fernando, we worked hard. We worked hard, man. We spent hours every single day since I can remember, since 7 years, 6 years old. You know, until 18, till we all went on our own. But we put a lot of hours into it. And, you know, part of me, I want it a lot, obviously, for myself and my brothers, but I think I want it more for my father. He deserves that. You know, he put aside, like I said, his goals for us. And for us to just have three albums is cool, but it should be 7, 8, 9. Yeah. And I'm on that 3T until it's there. Whenever we collectively decide to do music, I'm there.
Wow. Because like, I can imagine that being also a kind of like pressure because you're like a perfectionist. And in your back mind, you're like, in your head, you're like, my dad gave up so much. We got to do this. It's also in your personality, like always trying to do the best for your family because family is very important to you. Is it sometimes like, you're like, poof, whoa, okay, I gotta go, okay, then I gotta do this. Because you're also like, there's a couple of things, like you're taking care of the family legacy, you got the 3T legacy, you got your bond with your brothers, then you have your own children, then you're also the legal guardian of Michael Jackson's kids, you're also a husband, then you also...
I'm a real estate broker. I don't think people know.
Yeah,
I'm
you're also a real estate firm.
I love, yeah.
You're serious in that thing. Like I remember, you also had the opportunity to go to Wharton as well, and you let that go.
Yeah. So there's a lot I'm doing. There is a lot, and I'm still trying to figure out how to balance it all. But I've learned, Fernando. When I was younger, I wanted to do everything. I wanted to be really hands-on with everything. But I've learned the power of having partners and good team, You know, from everything, from my real estate to my family to guardianship, I have an amazing team. And that's how I'm able to do it all. It's not easy. It's not easy. Like I'm going to be in Europe for over a month, and I have real estate deals that are happening whether I'm there or not. I just have an incredible partner out there in LA holding it down, yeah, and a team that can help. Yeah. So I don't know if even people know I have my real estate broker. Since I was 20, I've had it. Even during 3T, I've been a licensed, because you want to know the story? It's kind of a fun one.
Yeah.
I bought my first home at 18. And I was just literally signing my home, just signing. You know, when you buy a home, yeah, signing. I remember just signing 12, 15 times and thinking, I have no idea what I'm signing. I don't have an idea what I'm signing. I said, that will be the last time. Even if I don't use it, I will get my license. Wow. So I got my license within a couple of years. So I knew what I was signing, because homes are important. They're probably the most important purchase a family can make, or someone can make for the family. So ever since then, I've fallen in love with it. I've always loved business. Like you said, I was supposed to go to Wharton. My Uncle Michael pleaded and begged me to go. I didn't listen. Probably my only regret in life. And but this is a way for me to fulfill that business mind that I have. Yeah. That
your uncle saw that you had a business mind from.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. You know what? He actually said to me one day, he said, Alpha Head, that would be cool if you were my brother. He felt like he said, Walt had Roy, so Walt could just create Disney. Walt could just create, because he knew Roy was taking care of the business. And he didn't feel he had that. So he felt like he had to create and be Michael Jackson, but also not be able to create as much because he had to focus on business.
Yeah.
And he saw that how much I love business and how natural it came to me. So he actually said that. And that's something that I cherish, because it's something he believed in. And like I said, I think that's why he wanted me to go so badly. He would call me in the middle of the night. I'd be waking up and I'd say, hello. He said, Applehead, it's Uncle Michael. Hey, Uncle Michael, how are you? I was like, are you asleep? Yeah, but it's okay. Okay, I'll make it quick. You got to go to that school, that Wharton school. I heard it's the number one school in the world, Applehead, for business. Please go, please. But I got to go, and I love you. He would call. He did that call to me 5-6 times.
Wow.
And it was hard for me because I'm 18 years old. 3T is on top of the world. And I couldn't leave 3T to pursue 4 years in college.
Yeah. So had a loyalty with your brothers.
I had it.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that to them. We built that and we were on top of the world. And, they wanted to do 3T. I wanted to do 3T. So I didn't go. And
but you also said, it's one of your biggest regrets. What would you have learned if you had did the college and go to Wharton and studied for 4 years?
I think I'd be a wiser businessman. I'll tell you this. When I was 17 years old, 3T would travel around the states to promote anything.
Yeah.
And we did a radio station in Philadelphia, which is where Wharton was. And after the show, the radio show, I had 2 hours to spare. So I went to Wharton to see it.
Yeah.
I kid you not, Fernando. I went into a classroom where they were having a class. It was the most beautiful thing because there was different nationalities, 18-year-old kids. It seemed like you plucked the smartest kids in every single country of the world. And the professor was just talking to them. The kids were just writing. And for me, I'm at the door just observing the classroom like a tour.
Yeah.
And I swear it felt like I didn't know every fourth word. It felt like it was a different language. That's how smart this talk was, this discussion, this lecture was on a whole nother level. And I felt like this is where I want to be because I can get to this, So I feel like I'd be more advanced in the business world and maybe doing, my own companies even on a higher level. But it wasn't meant to be, it wasn't meant to be. I may not be still doing music if I went that route. Yeah. And, so I'm learning to overcome that because there's no school, in my opinion, like Wharton for business. And I did end up getting my business degree, but at an easier or less acknowledged school, the University of Massachusetts, because I owed that to my mother. Before she passed, She would always talk about college and your degree. And I wanted to do that for her.
But so, that's a special thing. Like, that's one thing I really admire about you, that you have that loyalty. That's your word is everything. If you give mm-hmm. someone your word, it goes beyond. I remember, like, when you said, like, whenever you're in the States, call me and we'll hang out. So when I came to the States and we hung out, that was like very magical for me, because I was going through mm-hmm. a very rough time. And at that time, I was just on the verge of becoming a dad, and I was scared because I didn't know how to become a dad and all that kind of stuff. And I remember you talking to me and saying, Fernando, just follow your heart. You're a kind person. You're gonna do great. And that helped me. That was a moment that everything clicked. And I was like, yeah, TJ's right. So you helped me a lot with that one. So I will always be thankful to you.
Thank you, Fernando. That touches my soul. So thank you. You know, and I believe in that. I believe in leading with your heart. I believe sometimes we in society, we don't value what your heart will tell you.
Yeah.
You know, we listen to sometimes what we're thinking or what the world is saying and what we should do. You got to follow your heart.
Yeah.
As much as you can, your heart will lead you in the right way and make you, you know, it will, even if it's the what you think is the wrong decision at that time, it's for a reason. You'll learn and grow so much. And it's hard for us when we're young to understand that. But for anyone who's young, who's watching this, follow your heart. Follow your heart. You may not make all the right choices in life. It may be the wrong choice at the time. But if you follow your heart, you'll learn from it. You'll grow from it. And you'll become a better person. I truly believe that.
Yeah, I believe that too. Because that's one of the things, like eating, all the things you do, like that always comes back in place. Like your loyalty to your brothers, your loyalty to your uncle, you're very focused. I think that's why your uncle saw that if he was my brother, I would do even better, because you're very focused. Like, even though you perform and stuff, you're still focused. Like, this has to be done. This is what to be done. This has got to be done. So I think that's why a lot of people in your family lean on you.
Well, you know, too, Fernando, I observe a lot. And growing up as a Jackson, I've seen a lot. And I think, you know, I've been in, and I don't want this to come off wrong or egotistical, but I've been in a Rolls Royce, a top of the line car with gold, only gold inside. Imagine that, a Rolls Royce with only gold inside, not mine, of course, but my Uncle Michael picking me and my brothers up. I've been to everywhere. And the reason why I share that is because I've seen that, and it's great and all, but that's not everything. It's not everything. Your core and what you have, even if it's a regular beat up car, that's value.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it doesn't, what I'm trying to say is it doesn't, the price of the, of what it is, the material doesn't, should not give you the value. It should not. And I truly believe that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just believe in memories, heart, keeping it simple and having a good time, because life is precious. Maybe it's because I lost my mom at 16. One day I was saying goodnight to her, the next minute she's gone. And when that happens to you, you realize how precious life is. And sometimes we spend so much time chasing a shiny object, and we lose family, we lose friends, we lose a lot chasing it. And when we get it, the next thing we know, okay, it's great for a day, it's great for 2 days, but then the novelty wears off. And you look around and you don't have your family, you don't have what matters, and then you die. To me, that's not the life I want. I want to enjoy my people who's with me. And I still want to chase a great object, but I have to do it the right way.
Yeah.
I'm not going to neglect, my family's with me. My family is with me now. And sure, I could have made more money, because it's not easy traveling with, I got a lot of kids. I got a lot of mouths to feed, a lot of rooms to book.
Yeah.
But it's about the experience. I'll take less money and to make sure my family is with me. I share this one more thing. I have a 22-year-old. Yes, 22. the way he looked at me after this, all of my kids, but my 22-year-old was, I knew it from the younger ones, but the way he looked at me after my stay, I got off stage, yeah, is priceless. It's priceless.
Yeah.
That's why I'm doing it.
Yeah.
That meant everything to me. He didn't have to say anything, just his eyes.
Yeah.
You know, there was a level of respect, love, and pride and proudness in his eyes to me that is more valuable than anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe that love is the highest of all. I think a lot of people chase the shiny stuff because they think it can fulfill them or bring them more.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, everybody just want to be loved and love and be loved. I think like that's basically the key of life. And if you can find that and be at peace and be happy and healthy, I think that combination fills it all. Like money's just a tool to buy stuff, but it can't, it sounds cliche, but it can buy love.
Yeah, that's why it's a lot of true.
People
I'm not mad. I'm cool with the idea of chasing something. You should chase something in life so you move forward and you grow. Yes. But you got to remember, I grew up in a very wealthy area because of what my first generation, my father and uncles did. Yes. I grew up with the wealthiest people. And I don't say that to brag. I just say it because I know what growing up in money does. And the first generation who works their butt off, oftentimes the offspring, they have a sense of entitlement, of privilege that is not healthy for their soul. So there's a cost to it that we as society never talk about, that we ignore. And it's an unhealthy cost that lasts them their entire life.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something that to me, it's gotten worse because with social media, you could show off. So there's an incentive to show off what you didn't even really achieve because your father or mother achieved it. That's not healthy.
Yeah. But that's
not healthy. So for me, I really try to strive to live a middle class life.
Yeah.
You will never see me living in a crazy lifestyle, because until my kids are gone, maybe then I'll do it. But it's not healthy for my kids.
But that's why I think I also like when I was in the States with you guys and I met your uncle's kids. What I liked that they were very loving and very normal. Like when you look on social media, you look at all these like wealthy kids and rich kids, they're very stuck up, or like they're like, look at me, but they were like very like normal, Prince Michael, he just had on his t-shirt, his boxing jocks and sneakers and just relaxed. And I remember like meeting him and talking to Blanket DJ, and then like I was like, wow, that's so cool that your uncle's legacy is like putting lovely, warm children on this earth. And wow, I was very impressed with that, with just them being so humble and so.
Yeah, you know, I may have to tell you this off, but I'll share a bit, but I'll go into deep more with you, Fernando. Yeah. But what I will share is that when we did, you know, as guardian, I had to do a lot of planning for trips that involved my cousins. And one of the things you have to figure out, because truthfully, money is not an issue. You can fly only first class wherever you want to go, you know? Yeah. But I made a decision that not every flight of theirs would be first class. They would fly sometimes coach so that they experience being normal and being real. But they will also take first class flights so they can understand and enjoy what their father built. And understand that lane too, because when you're the kids of Michael Jackson, you should understand how to survive and be in that lane. It's just the truth. But you cannot neglect what the common person does on a daily basis. Yes. You gotta stay connected. And I don't know if they knew it, they didn't care, they're kids, but we did a lot of flying on coach. And when we would fly in coach, people would say, why aren't they in first class? And you know, I would tell them my reasoning why they weren't. I wanted them to be as normal and grounded as possible. I thought it was so important because the school they ended up going to, the same school we went to, is a very, very esteemed private school, very small, the richest of the richest people there. And I wanted them to get a taste of normality. And it's cool because at least two of them like it more. Yeah. And I think that's beautiful.
Yeah.
I think it's beautiful.
It's amazing. It's amazing. So I just also want to commend you on that one. I mean, like today is also the 25th of June. Mm-hmm. As a Michael Jackson fan, I think with us, millions of us, it's still in disbelief that he's not here. But how is it like for you? Because that's your uncle. Like, do you, is the 25th of June like an emotional day? Is it a day where you reflect? Is it like, what do you do on this day?
I definitely a difficult day. It's definitely gotten easier over the years, but it's still, I think about my uncle every day, not just today. Taj, my brother, has been helping me change the way I handle these kind of anniversaries. They used to get me so down. I couldn't turn on the TV. I couldn't listen to the radio because you'd hear and see more Uncle Michael. And Taj is helping me reframe that position to celebrate it, to be proud and wear a shirt. When Kobe Bryant lost his life, my heart broke for his family and kids. And I thought about all the times the kids would see other people with Kobe Bryant jerseys and how it will immediately remind them of their father. Yeah. And that breaks my heart.
Yeah.
But then with Taj's help, that's how I felt with my Uncle Michael. When I see people with Michael Jackson shirts or playing his music, it immediately brought me to a loss. And now I'm getting there where it immediately brings me to happiness and proud. And that's been a healthy change for me. So even now on this day, it's challenging, but I'm learning to celebrate it. The last couple of years, the first 2 years I've never been with my cousins on this day. I used to always have things to do, but I demanded I be back home with them on this day so I could be there with them and monitor them.
Yeah.
But they're adults now and they're doing very well on this day, which gave me the freedom to feel like I could still do what I need to do. And I, like I said, I feel like I'm getting there, Fernando. It's still challenging. I miss my uncle every day. I think of him every day, but it's getting a little bit easier for me to handle this day.
Yeah, I could imagine because like in most of your stories, he has played a very important role in your life. I mean, like when your mother died, I think you were like 16 years old.
Yeah.
And he was always there for you. He was always, he was that extra loving, caring person. And I think that's amazing. And I can imagine that when he died, that you felt like that obligation with, yo, my uncle would do this for me. He did this for me as well. So I gotta do this for his kid. So I applaud you for that.
Well, there's two things, Fernando. When you're Michael Jackson, what can you as a nephew at 18, 19 years old buy him or get him to say thank you for all he did? There was nothing. And I used to think about what can I get him? So I tried to find really cool books and I got him some books that he really loved. But that was the only thing I could do. I couldn't buy him a TV. I couldn't buy him a new gadget. I couldn't buy him a jacket that was expensive because he had all that. So that was something that always ran through my mind. How do I thank and show my appreciation to my uncle? And then when he passed, I felt like this is how I have to do it. This is the right way to do it. And I don't know. Another thing I'll say, and I shared this in my show yesterday. At the time when my mom passed, and I see that time too, Fernando, but at the time when my mom passed, my Uncle Michael was the biggest star in the world. It was 1994. He was on the top of the world. And he was so present for me and my brothers that today I don't understand how he did it. Back then, when you're young and you're going through that grief, you just think, you know, my uncle's being an uncle. But today, I don't know how he juggled a massive stadium tour and still was so present for us, there for us,
wow,
whenever we needed him. And now as an adult, as a man, I respect that. And I appreciate that. And I will forever be grateful for that. And I will ever, forever hold him on even a higher status bar. Forget, wow, all the music. Forget what, yeah, the world knows. His commitment to his nephews during their time of need is something I will always cherish and respect him for.
The greatest, man, the King of Pop. And I think everybody should come to see the show, because, like, you have 3 sold-out shows in Paris. You're going to Lyon, Madrid, yeah, Naples, London, Brussels, but also in Amsterdam, the 16th, yeah, of July. That's your birthday. So,
yeah, I first of all, I had Amsterdam is such an important city for me. It really is. And so was Paris. So I was like, how do I make this special for both? So I started it in Paris, launched it in Paris, but I'm doing my birthday in the last show in Amsterdam. So it's going to be a special night. It's going to be fun. And I'm already planning some special things for that show.
Cool.
So my goal is to make it a night to remember and to make it a fun evening for everyone.
And how can people get tickets? Because they can still get tickets on your website,
they
right?
They can. There's not many. It's going to sell out for sure.
Yeah.
But for anyone who wants to get tickets, if they're there, go to www.tjjackson.com. It's just my website, tjjackson.com. From there, you'll see everything.
Okay, my brother. Thank you very much for your time. Hope to see
you soon.
You're
coming to the show, right?
I'm like postponing my vacation to come to see your show. So imagine.
All right. I love it.
Imagine that one. So I'm going to see
you. Well, I love you, man. I love you, Fernando, and I appreciate you, and I'm always here for you.
I got you, man. Right back to you. So love to the family, and I'll see you in Amsterdam.
Cool. All right. Thank you all.